In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our text for this morning is the second lesson appointed for Epiphany. We read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, this is the text, this is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends, would our celebration of our Savior's birth have been as joyous had the message of the angels been, "For to you in the town of David, a Savior has been born for everyone but," and insert your name there. That sad scenario would make us like the poor beggar outside with nose pressed against the restaurant window in the snow, watching others enjoy a great and wonderful banquet. We are observing Epiphany, even though Epiphany is Tuesday. The Apostle Paul's words to us this morning assured the Gentiles in Ephesus and assure us that we are included in God's grace. We are in no way beggars on the outside looking in, while only others enjoy what God has prepared for them from eternity. The angel said, the Savior is born for you. It's plural. It's universal. It applies to us all. And so this morning we look at that great Epiphany truth. We all are members of God's forgiven family. First, because of Jesus' work, and then to make plain Jesus' work. We did not know for sure what our Christmas presents were until we unwrapped them last week. Every one of those packages in that beautiful paper with the ribbons around it and the bows on it, every one of those was a mystery waiting to be revealed. The Apostle Paul speaks in those terms about the administration of God's grace. The administration of God's grace is something unknown, and it had been unknown to God's people previously in the Old Testament. But now, God had revealed this great mystery to all the nations, as he revealed it to the holy apostles and the apostles, or the holy apostles and the prophets, for them to share. And here is that epiphany, that revelation. Through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. No matter whether you are Jew or Gentile, Jesus Christ was born, lived, died, and rose again to forgive your sins and to win you a seat at the banquet of God's grace in heaven. We are living in a day of emphasis on inclusiveness. And this is the greatest. God has included you and me and every human being in the forgiveness he planned from eternity and carried out in Christ Jesus. We all are members of God's forgiven family because of Jesus' work. The Father, we sang in our Christmas hymn, has declared joy to the world because the Lord has come. Because of Jesus' work, you and I may approach God in the knowledge of and repentance for our sins. We can lay our anger, our lust, our covetousness, our spiritual apathy. We may lay all the works of our flesh at the feet of Jesus Christ, knowing that at the same time then we will receive that full forgiveness, that full grace from the Father for Jesus' sake. He grants us that full forgiveness because of Jesus' work of living a perfect life and dying a sacrificial, innocent death, as we heard in our absolution this morning. You and I and all the world may look to the Heavenly Father for that full forgiveness of sins because Jesus never sinned and he died on the cross for us. The Apostle Paul put it this way, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The apostle knew firsthand, didn't he, what he was writing about. He had been an enemy of God, a persecutor of the church. But by grace, God had called him, assuring him that Jesus died also for him, as Jesus himself taught Paul in the wilderness. He gave Paul that knowledge that we all are the forgiven children of God, all members of God's forgiven family in objective justification. And so Paul rejoiced in that truth and had the privilege of sharing that truth with those Gentiles in Ephesus, assuring them that God intended them to be one with Israel, one in that unity that is the holy Christian church. When God looks at the church through Christ, he does not see nationality or race or language or cultural heritage. The only thing he sees are the brothers and sisters of Christ, members of his family, forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross. Paul writes, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Paul came to know this fact, which is faith, to trust in this fact. We all are members of God's forgiven family and have the benefit of that forgiveness through faith. God called Paul, that persecutor of the church, to be a servant of the gospel. Paul called Martin Luther, a man who was terrified to see a picture of Jesus because he looked at him only as a righteous judge, to see Jesus as his gracious and loving Savior, to throw open those gates of paradise by coming to appreciate the righteousness of Christ. God called Luther to be a servant of that gospel by his power. And dear friends in Christ, God has called you and me to do the same. We are all members of God's forgiven family because of Jesus' work to make plain Jesus' work. You and I have countless blessings and many responsibilities as family members. Don't each of us in our own families have certain responsibilities that we enjoy and carry out because of our membership in the family? One of those that we have as members of God's forgiven family and as those who have faith and trust in that wonderful status that God has given us is to make plain this message to others. Recall that Paul intended this letter particularly for those Gentiles in Asia Minor. So he was making plain to them that mystery. Gentiles, Jews, all peoples on whom darkness sat, now we're living in that light of the forgiveness of Christ. They and we are to take that message out into the world. We might say, in a current expression, pay it forward. It's like, you know, when you're standing in line at Starbucks or you're in the drive-thru and they tell you, oh, you know, the person in front of you paid for your coffee. And so you say, well, great. I'll pay for the coffee of the person behind me. When something good happens to me, then I share that good with somebody else. And that's what we do as forgiven members of God's family. We have received the revelation of that mystery and know that that present is for us, that it's for me. And so we take that message out and make it plain to others. We do that as individual Christians. We do that as members of Bethlehem. We do that as members of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. How do we do that as individual Christians? We do it through what's called personal or friendship evangelism, which is just a fancy way of saying, I tell my friends that, like me, they're a sinner. All people are sinners. And because all people are sinners, Jesus had to die and did die for all people. And God has forgiven all people in Christ. And that means then that as God has forgiven me, God has forgiven you all your sins. We do that as members of Bethlehem by supporting our preschool. One way, over the past years, we have shared the gospel with unchurched children and their families, with Muslim children and their families, with Hindu children and their families. We have made plain to them in simple ways that plain truth of Jesus' forgiveness of all their sins. And we do it as a synod, as Bethlehem and other congregations in the synod send in our congregational mission offerings so that others can go in our name out into the world to share the gospel. Think back a minute to those magi traveling from the east to Jesus' house, maybe 2 years after he was born. and bringing them the gifts, and then returning to their land to make plain that mystery that had been opened to them. Their journey and their response is very much like ours. The work often can be uncomfortable. At times, it can be even dangerous. The work we do of making plain Christ's work is expensive, and it requires no small sacrifice on our part. We need to be careful and not fall into the trap of becoming apathetic and self-satisfied as we see our new sanctuary rising from the ground. The work of making plain the truth of Christ needs more than faint heart and feeble effort. It needs every ounce of our dedication and our devotion. It needs every ounce of our appreciation and thanksgiving for the gift that you and I have received, that God has opened up for us that mystery that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that God has in Christ reconciled the world to himself. There are more hearers of our witness than just men. Even as we suffer, Paul reminded the Ephesians, don't let that get you down. He said, I ask you therefore, do not be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are for your glory. When we do all those things we talked about as an individual, as a congregation, as a synod, and we suffer those persecutions, difficulties, and challenges, we remember that we're doing it for the glory of God as it is made manifest in others as they come to know Jesus as their Savior. And at the same time, Paul says that you are to preach and make plain that before the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It's always been a great comfort to me that whenever I have the opportunity to preach or teach or share God's word and people learn and they come to see more clearly some truth about Jesus' work, that the angels in heaven also are learning something. That's a very humbling thought. But Paul says, you know, the angels are not omniscient. The angels don't know everything. And so Paul says that as you and I make plain the work of Christ, as it's carried out through the New Testament era, as we share that work to bring others to faith, that even the angels grow in their knowledge. They grow in their wisdom. They grow in their understanding of what God is doing, what He planned from eternity. They come to see the multifaceted face of God's plan. And that word there is one that would have been used for Joseph's coat of many colors. It was many faceted. It had all different colors in the coat. The eternal plan of God has many different facets, many different sides and colors and qualifications or attributes that God gives us to share and to carry out with others. As we do that, we share with others the eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, in this new year that has just begun, continue to make plain Jesus' work. Tell others that like you, they too are members of God's forgiven family. The Holy Spirit will call many to join us in the Magi's caravan as we come regularly to worship our Lord and our Savior. Tell those who still have their noses pressed against the window, out in the darkness and the cold, that the door is open and there is a seat at the feast reserved for them. Amen.